Okay, good morning. I'm going to record this because the last time I was giving a talk, you know, several days ago, the talk went over really well. Like, people seemed to really like my last one, where I mentioned this Anguttara Nikaya 4.55. The title is The Same in Living. And there are two lay people, like a husband and wife, who wanted to be reborn together in future lives. So it's kind of like a soulmates thing. They wanted to be reborn again. And the Buddha explained, yes, this is possible, but they should have the same faith, the same virtuous behavior, the same generosity, and the same wisdom. Then they will see one another, not only in this present life, but also in future lives. Okay, and then the next sutta right after repeats the same message, but briefly. And so I got several comments kind of after that talk, you know, because it's kind of cool that there's kind of a soulmates sort of a teaching in Buddhism. Of course, Buddhism doesn't believe in a soul per se, but, you know, there is this term soulmates, which fits pretty well here, setting the anatta thing aside. And I felt I should say a little more about this about this whole soulmates thing. Now, there are, sometimes when I meet Malaysians and get to know them and have conversations, or other ethnic Asian monks, like Sri Lankan monks, sometimes they have this aspiration, not to attain Nibbana if they're a monastic, but they have a particular Deva realm in mind that they would like to be reborn into. Like, they, yes, it is true that the suttas do say in a few places in the early Buddhist texts, wherever you set your mind, you know, if you do that often enough, if you do that very, very devotedly, you can indeed kind of direct where you will go next. Yeah, and there is a famous simile which kind of captures this. It's about a big mature tree that's sort of leaning in one direction. And the Buddha asks the monks, okay, well, if this tree was cut, you know, let's say it was leaning to the west. If the tree was cut down, what direction do you think it would fall? Would it fall to the north, the south, the east, or the west? So they say, well, of course it would fall to the west because that's where it's leaning. And the Buddha says, yes, exactly. That's where it's leaning. That's where it'll fall. And in the same way, wherever we're leaning our whole lives, you know, in the way of moral conduct and wisdom, this sort of thing, generosity, once we die, that it will be a very obvious way of seeing where we're going to go next. You know, like, it predicts strongly where we'll go next. There is sort of a counterexample sutta, and that's what I want to try to bring some attention to. There is, despite this strong kind of patterning, you know, okay, here's a counterexample simile also in the early Buddhist texts. The Buddha said, imagine you had a stick, okay, just a plain old, you know, like a walking stick, and you threw it up into the air, spinning end over end. You threw it way up in the air. And when it lands on the ground, you can't really tell whether it'll land on one end or the other, or maybe exactly in the middle. It might land perfectly flat on the ground too. That's also possible. Okay, and in the same way, there is this similar randomness as to where people go next after they die. Okay, some people go to this realm next or that realm next, or there is randomness to where we can go as well in our next lives. So this is kind of, you might say, a counterbalancing simile to this leaning tree thing, okay? So I would suggest, please don't try to game the system too much here. You know what I mean? Like, when I meet these people who have this strong belief, like, oh, I can just sort of choose what realm I'd like to be born into next, you know, just like I might go to a shopping mall and I choose a new pair of clothing to wear, and I get to pick whatever I want. It's easy, you know, whatever I like, if I can afford it, I can just buy that thing. Well, this is sort of like, well, maybe you can afford it. Maybe you can pick it. You know, there is a patterning to this, but it's not 100% in your control. So my feelings about this are that, yes, we should try to make whatever merit we can. You know, we should try to develop our generosity. We should try to develop our morality, our wisdom, all these other we should develop all these other qualities. However, what you're going to get after you die is a little bit of a mystery here. You know, there's some mystery in this system at the same time. So I would say just do the best you can and see what you get. You know, in Buddhism, there are levels of increasingly better heaven, you know, so just see which one you can get. Why not get the highest one? You know, just aim high, see what you get. And if you're lucky, you'll be an arhant. That'd be great. You know, you can go to Nirvana. So I say, like, don't game the system too much here, like believing you have it under total control. A lot of, I think a lot of Chinese Malaysians and a lot of ethnic Asian Buddhists who their ancestry has a Mahayana history in it a lot. There is this kind of view you find in Mahayana, which is a little bit out of sync with Theravada here, which I feel is worthy of quickly mentioning. I have met some Mahayana monastics and got to know their views somewhat, and they have this strong view that, many of them anyway, everything that happens to us is a karmic resultant, okay? Every single resultant, okay? So if somebody brought me this nice sweet tea this morning, and, you know, thank you for the tea, it must be the case that I made karma in the past to deserve this resultant, you know, like, maybe I gave somebody a cup of tea 200 years ago in a past life, and now that's coming back to me. I get a cup of tea today, you know? So in Mahayana, they often have a view, it must be a karmic resultant every time, 100% karmically explainable. Theravada's like, hold on though. It very well might be the case that this is a karmic resultant, but it is not necessarily the case that it is a karmic resultant. Things can happen to us which weren't necessarily karmic resultants. Okay, so there's this sutta which the Mahayana seemed to totally overlook. I actually mentioned it to a bunch of Mahayana monastics once, and none of them heard of this sutta. They just like, whoa, does that even exist? And I'm like, yes. And we went and looked it up off of, you know, we took the Samyutta Nikaya off the bookshelf and found it. And they all read this, like, is this even true, you know? So the sutta is called the Sivaka Sutta. And now I can't remember the numbering offhand, but it's in the Samyutta Nikaya. I could dig it out if you really want to know. And what the Sivaka Sutta says is there are several possible explanations as to why we might experience negative resultants coming to us, okay? And karma is just one possible reason, okay? So if, you know, let's say there was a five-year-old toddler here, and in the middle of my Dhamma talk, he comes and he kicks me in the leg, you know? Now, it might be that, like, 200 years ago, I kicked him in the leg in a past life, and I deserved that. You know what I mean? I might comically deserve that kick in the leg.
But other possible reasons for that bad resultant in the Sivaka Sutta, it could just be because he assaulted me, okay? This toddler just decided to, you know, he just decided to kick me because why not, you know? I don't know why. He just decides to. So random things can come your way in samsara. It isn't always karma. Okay, you can just be randomly assaulted if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's also negligence too. You know, like maybe the five-year-old toddler, he's walking around swinging a stick and he's not very mindful. And he just hits my leg with his stick accidentally. Okay, he didn't even mean to hit me. Again, that doesn't need to be a karmic resultant. It's just an accident. It's just negligence. Okay, that's another possible reason. Or it can be a disease. Maybe he's got COVID and he comes and coughs on my face. And again, it's an accident, but I catch COVID. And that doesn't need to be a karmic resultant. It's just, oh, well, that's how disease works. You can just catch diseases from people. Okay? So the Sivaka Sutta, it kind of like introduces an element of randomness into how things happen to us. It's not just karma, okay? Now, that doesn't mean we should stop trying to do what we can, you know, to improve our future. We should, you know, meditate if we can. We should be kind. We should do all this, all these positive things to try to bring, you know, try to encourage, you know, wholesome vipaka, wholesome resultants. Okay, so this does not weaken the teaching of the Buddha to hear this. It's sort of like, you know, do what you can to improve your future and your present as well. But watch out, there is an element of randomness in this system. Okay, so just like this stick simile with the twirling stick in it, you don't quite know how it's going to land. Okay, so this sutta from last week here, this about the soul mates, you know, hopefully people who want to do that, it would work, you know. But despite people's best efforts, you know, maybe their wisdom wasn't quite the same at the end of the day, let's say. Like the Buddha did say they have to have similar wisdom. But you never know. Maybe one person is more wise than the other. And the other person with the less wisdom can't help it. You know, maybe they just are a little weaker in that area. You know, well, you never know. Maybe one soulmate goes to this heaven and the other soulmate goes a couple of heavens below or something. You know, you don't know. So, you know, it is a very romantic and appealing idea, the soulmates thing. And may it work for you if that's what you want. But what I say is don't be cautious about gaming the system too much here. Okay? Now, if you really, really, really work at it, you do get this leaning tree thing where once you cut the tree down, it does fall to the west. And that's obvious, right? Yeah. Okay, there's a question at the back.
The thing is, let's say the tree is leaning like that, like we are doing dana daily. What happens to those who suddenly, before they die, is a coma?
Okay, well, we're getting into some edge cases about how karma works here. Now, there are suttas which will cover all these edge cases. I'd answer your question by saying this. Whatever strongly patterned thing you have, like the leaning tree, you do reap that likely vipaka. You know, even if you go into a coma first, you still get that likely vipaka of the leaning tree. Now, there's also, again, this is another edge case, where karma can kind of swing at the last moment to go somewhere different, okay? There is a sutta about cattle escaping out of a barn. And basically, like, imagine you had a bunch of cattle in a barn, a crowded barn, and then you randomly open the door to the barn to see which cow will come out first. Well, it's kind of hard to know which cow will come out first, but there are some patterns here, okay? Now, I can't remember this sutta perfectly, but it's worth, if you really want a great answer, you got to read that sutta. But it goes something like this. If there is a strong bull near the door at that time, it just so turns out, he will just muscle his way out the door first. You know, he's like, I'm the big one. I'm just barging my way out this door. I got a chance right now to get out the door. Everyone out of my way. He'll come out first. And then if there is no strong bull, then whatever random cow is near the door will get out first. Okay? And I believe there's one or two other cases mentioned as well, but those are the only couple I can remember. But there is a pattern you can see as to which cow is likely going to come out that door first. So in that same way, there are some strong patternings as to where you go next. But there's that element of randomness at the last second too. Okay? Yeah. There's a lot of subtlety to how karma works. And yes, we would all like for this to be very exact and predictable. You know what I mean? Everybody wants that stability in their life if they could have it. You know, everyone likes that stability if they could get it. Now, we should work towards that stability, yes. But there's also an element of, like, uncertainty in there as well. You know? So just, it doesn't really change the game in that we should do what we can. You know, make the best effort, try to be mindful, try to be kind, you know. The teachings don't change because of this random element. But I'm just pointing out this random element because I feel that it is a bit of a mistake to assume too much predictability and then want to game the system. Like, oh, I can just pick where I'm going to go next. Like I pick new clothing. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa, don't be so sure though. I feel the best strategy is like aim high. Aim high, see what you get at the end. It'll be a bit of a mystery, but it's pretty predictable at the same time. Okay? So there's a bit of a fuzziness in this system. There's a bit of a fuzziness. Yeah. That's just how it works. Samsara is like that. And really, the Buddha is kind of a blinding genius for explaining the patterns wherever there was any patterns to explain. Okay? If there was some kind of a pattern, he told us about it. And if there's some kind of a randomness, he tells us about that too. Okay? So that I highly appreciate. A lot of lesser spiritual teachers would sort of like hand wave away the random part of it and just be like, just trust me. Follow my path and you're sure to get your heavenly rebirth or whatever. It's simple. It's just trust me 100%. And I will richly profit off of that trust, by the way. It's simple. Just follow me. You know what I mean? That's kind of a tool of power, you know, trying to simplify a situation when actually it's kind of a nuanced situation. Nuanced means like, there are subtle details here. You know what I mean? There are strong patterns, yes, but don't go so far as to say there's a 100% pattern if that is not true. Okay, so that's very intellectually honest. And yeah. Okay, so does that answer your question? Okay, all right. So I'll kind of end it here. Thank you for the question. There are dozens of these suttas about karma. You'd have to read all the early Buddhist texts to kind of find them all. There are several minor ones which hardly ever get mentioned, by the way. All these ones I mentioned today, I would have never been able to tell you about them today if I didn't go read myself. Okay? Okay, so anyway, thank you for listening.